Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, and again, welcome to our Bible study series, Building a Covenant Community of Believers. This is Lesson 5, Outdo One Another in Showing Honor. This is based on the second part of verse 10 out of Romans 12. We're looking at the 27 aspects of what it says to be a covenant community of believers. And again, I think the group comes in and you welcome them and show them some hospitality, get your hosts to do that. I think it's a nice thing if you can have separate hosts and a separate group leader as well. Ease into the study, and when you do, this is what we're going to be looking at. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, the second part, or the middle part of Romans chapter 10, which says, outdo one another in showing honor. To honor is to bestow high worth to something. The measure of an employer's honor for their staff includes how much they remunerate them. The measure of how much a husband honors his wife includes how much attention he gives to her and her needs. 1 Peter 3:7. To honor is therefore to regard someone or something as important and to demonstrate that regard. Question 1. How does Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, how does this teach us where we are supposed to learn to begin to honor? What implications does this have for parents? Well, we're supposed to learn to honor in our homes. As babies, we're supposed to learn to honor our father and mother as they model it. And there's the implication for parents. One of the main roles of parents is to honor each other so that they are modeling what it means to honor in front of their children. This is why parents should never fight or quarrel in front of their children in a way that, well, is just simply fighting, which I categorize or class or define as simply trying to win and beat the other person. Now, of course, this is different to conflict, and conflict is often done as a fight, but it shouldn't be. It should be done as a disagreement that needs to be resolved, and this can be done amicably. And perhaps if you want to know more about that, have a look at some of the other things that I've written about how to argue and so on. But anyway, the implications for parents are they have the responsibility to teach their children how to honor. Question 2, Leviticus 19 verse 32, which says, you should stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord. What does this verse say? What should young people learn to do from this verse? And why would God want them to particularly learn this? Well, this demonstrates that the elderly should be honored, and in so doing, they are learning what it means to honor God. So in general society, the older person should be held in honor. God wants us to each to learn to honor those who bear not just his image, but aspects of his nature, so that we can better honor him. And there are people that bear that nature in the roles and responsibilities that they have. Well, let's have a look. Question 3. How are we to honor God according to Proverbs 3:9? And why is this so difficult for some? Well, Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So how are we to honor God, according to that verse? With our wealth. Now there's a clue on how we can honor others. Generosity, gifts, and so on. For many people, though, the reason this is so difficult is because this is a test of trust. Because many people put their trust in their wealth, in their money. It's perhaps the most practical test anyone can have of trust. Who do they trust? Do they trust God or do they trust their money? That's why it's difficult for some to do this. Question 4. God requires of us to show honor to those who don't usually experience honor. Note Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 31, which says, "Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." So how does God require of us to show honor, especially to those who don't normally experience honor? Well, in this instance, it's the poor. And perhaps, arguably, the poor are the least honored in our society. So when we are honoring the poor, we are showing them that they bear the image of God, therefore they are deserving of the kind of honor that God tells us they should experience. And in doing this, the scripture actually says in that verse that we are honoring God himself. While praising God is an important way to honor God, what can we deduce from Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, which says, "And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their lips while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught of men." Well, from that passage, which is repeated by Christ in Mark chapter 7 and verse 6, what can we see that honor, genuine honor, must entail? Well, from that passage, it must be heartfelt, not merely the outward form. It must be from the heart. Now, honoring others is usually a way, based on some of these scriptures we've just looked at, is usually a way of honoring God. But this does not exempt us from simultaneously honoring God directly with our worship. Note Malachi 1:6, which says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is my honor? And so God expects that we will honor him, not just with a heartfelt attitude, but with a demonstration of that heartfelt attitude as well. Question 6, how did Jesus command that his followers honor the Father in John 5:23, which says that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father? Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Well, what does that verse tell us about how we are to honor Jesus? Well, that verse is pretty clear. It's explicit. We are to honor Jesus in exactly the same way that we are told to honor the Father, to honor the Father in a way which clearly involves worship. We are to show the same kind of honor to Jesus. Question 7, note the context of Romans 13, and you'll see there it talks about submission to authority. But consider verse 7, which says, "Pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." So the question is, who do we owe honor to? Well, that the context of that chapter, and based on that verse 7, is those in authority, those who have a right to be honored, we are to show honor to. Now, I know that we live in a generation, in a world which champions and prizes and celebrates the maverick, the rebel. But Scripture gives us a different heart and a different spirit toward those who are in authority, and it's one of honor. And the Bible says that the command of Christ in Romans chapter 12 is that we are to outdo one another in showing honor, and especially showing honor to those to whom it is due. Question 8, while we are to show honor to people generally, 1 Peter 2:17, which says, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." There are some to whom we are told to honor especially. Who does this include? And so we see there in that passage that we are to particularly honor those who are in leadership, those who are in authority. And by doing that, ultimately, we are honoring Christ, we are honoring God. So there's a different cultural spirit in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. And this is something that is to be found in the church. We see in Philippians 2:29 where Paul says, receive him. It doesn't actually matter who, but this is a servant, a minister. Receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. So those who labor in the church, and I know the church has taken a real battering in its reputation lately with cases of abuse and cases of financial misappropriation. And God has a way of sorting out his church. He has a way of sorting those people out. It doesn't diminish our responsibility to still show honor to those who serve in the church. And this following, the last question, really makes it very clear. Question 9, within the local church, are there those who should be shown more honor than others? Well, 1 Timothy 5:17, the answer is yes. It says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. So those who labor in preaching and teaching, the Bible says, are worthy of double honor. And I know, again, this is countercultural to where we are at as a society, because we're not into honoring our politicians, our police, our defense forces, or our church leaders. But if we can get this right in our community, we will stand out. We will be distinct and we will be different. This is a really important aspect. Of course, for those who do serve in church in a leadership capacity, this actually should cause you to take stock. It should cause you to go, man, I have a heavy burden of responsibility, and I have to live up to it. Well, I hope this study's been profitable. We'll be back for our next study, lesson 6, as we continue through how we can build a covenant community of believers. I'm Andrew Corbett.